ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। रीडिंग फ्रॉम श्रीमद्भागवतम् सेवेंथ कैंटो चैप्टर 8 entitled The Lord Slays the King of the Demons, text 12. Yastvaya mandabhagyokto madanyo jagadishwarah kvasau yadi sa sarvatra kasmat stambhena drishyate. O most unfortunate Prahlad, you have always described a supreme being other than me, a supreme being who is above everything, who is the controller of everyone, and who is all-pervading. But where is he? If he is everywhere, then why is he not present before me in this pillar? Purport. Demons sometimes declare to a devotee that they cannot accept the existence of God because they cannot see him. But what the demon does not know is stated by the Lord himself in the Bhagavad Gita 7.25. Naham prakash sarvasya yogamaya samavrataha. I am never manifest to the foolish and unintelligent. For them I am covered by yogamaya. The Lord is open to being seen by devotees, but non-devotees cannot see Him. The qualification for serving God is stated in the Brahma Samhita 5.30. Premanjana churita bhakti vilochanena santa sadaiva hridayeshu vilokayanti. A devotee who has developed a genuine love for Krishna can always see Him everywhere, whereas a demon not having a clear understanding of the Supreme Lord cannot see Him. When Hiranyakashipu was threatening to kill Prahlad Maharaj, Prahlad certainly saw the column standing before him and his father, and he saw that the Lord was present in the pillar to encourage him not to fear his demoniac father's words. He's already ready. It's like, you know, drama sometimes. Already he's ready. He's already standing in that pillar. The Lord was present in the pillar to encourage him not to fear his demonic father's words. The Lord was present to protect him. Hiranyakashipu marked Prahlad's observation and asked him, "Where is your God?" Prahlad Maharaj replied, "He's everywhere." Then Hiranyakashipu asked, "Why is he not in this pillar before me?" Thus, in all circumstances, the devotee can always see the Supreme Lord, whereas the non-devotee cannot. Prahlad Maharaj has here been addressed by his father as the most unfortunate. Hiranyakashipu thought himself extremely fortunate because he possessed the property of the universe. Prahlad Maharaj, his legitimate son, was to have inherited this vast property, but because of his impudence, he was going to die at his father's hands. Therefore, the demoniac father considered Prahlad the most unfortunate, because Prahlad would not be able to inherit his property. Hiranyakashipu did not know that Prahlad Maharaj was the most fortunate person within the three worlds, because Prahlad was protected by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Such are the misunderstandings of demons. They do not know that a devotee is protected by the Lord in all circumstances. Kaunteya pratijanihi name bhakta. Yastvaya mandabhagyokto madanyo jagadishwarah vasav yadi sa sarvatra kasmat stambhena drishyate. O most unfortunate Prahlad, you have always described a supreme being other than me, a supreme being who is above everything, who is the controller of everyone, and who is all pervading. But where is he? If he is everywhere, then why is he not present before me in this pillar? So here are the two extreme degree of consciousness. One is not able to see the Supreme anywhere, absolutely. And the other, who is able to see the Lord everywhere, at all times, in all circumstances. And that is the goal of human form of life. To reach from the stage of Hiranyakashipu to the stage of Prahlad Maharaj. And if we can achieve that, and that is perfection of life. And Bhagavatam gives both sides. The result of a person who has this level of kind of consciousness and the result of a person who has a consciousness where he can see Krishna everywhere. So, how do we begin to see Krishna everywhere? Prabhupada explains, Primanjana Churita Bhakti Vilochanena Santa Sadaiva Hradesha Vilokayan. By developing love of God, one can actually perceive the Lord everywhere. Sthavara jangama dekhe na dekhe tar murti sarvatra hoye nija ishta deva svurti. When a devotee develops love of God, prema pumartho mahan, then in that absorption of love of God, knowing the Lord's energy to be all-pervading, simultaneously one and different from the Lord, a devotee cannot but see the Lord everywhere. It means seeing everything in relationship with the Lord and utilizing everything for what it is meant for, in glorification of the Lord. So, that is the process and the only way to achieve that love, which is the highest perfection of human life, is bhakti. Ramya kachid upasana vrajavadu vargenaya kalpita. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, that's what he came to give. Explain that prema pumartho mahan, that is the highest goal. And the process is following in the footsteps of the Braja Gopis. In the previous life of Narada Muni, when he was the son of a maid servant, he happened to meet the Bhaktivedantas. And they, by coming in contact with them, he served them, and by their mercy, they gave him the knowledge. Sakshat Bhagavatoditam, by which you can see the Lord face to face. See the Lord at all times, everywhere, in all situations, all circumstances. And Prabhupada writes in that purport, Sakshat Bhagavatoditam, that Lord, that confidential knowledge that the Lord gave, he gave it to Arjuna. Idam tute guhyatamam pravakshami anusuyave. Because you are not envious of me, Arjuna, I am going to give you that knowledge, the most confidential knowledge. He also gave it to Uddhava, the 11th canto, Uddhava Gita. And he also gave it to Lord Brahma, right at the beginning of creation, in four verses. And in those four verses, the first two verses explain
that how the Lord existed before this whole creation came into being. That means he is not one of this creation. He is beyond. And during the creation, anything and everything that you see is me, Krishna says. Anything and everything that you see and hear and touch and smell and taste, that's me. And then he says, after annihilation of everything that exists in this material creation, all that remains is me. Which means he is the absolute truth and there is nothing outside of him. He is everything. And the second verse says, if you see anything without its relation with me, that is Maya. And then he says how to achieve this. How to achieve this vision where you see everything. O Brahma, please know that the universal elements enter into the cosmos and at the same time do not enter into the cosmos. Similarly, I myself also exist within everything created and at the same time I am outside of everything. The other day I was hearing Prabhupada's lecture. So one man, I think it was in Jagannath Puri or somewhere, one man, I could make out that he had pan in his mouth by the way he was talking. So, and his mouth was filled with that juice of pan. And he was talking with Prabhupada and he was telling, no, Mayavadi conception that, you know, God is everywhere. So Prabhupada said, yes, God is everywhere. God is even in the dog, but that doesn't mean you worship the dog. And then he quoted this verse, which is the most confidential knowledge that Krishna told Arjun. Matstani sarvabhutani. Everything is situated in me. Nacha aham teshu avasthitaha. But I am not situated in them. Everything is situated in me. Matstani sarvabhutani. Nacha aham teshu avasthitaha. But I am not situated there. This is very difficult. They accept only that part, that God is everywhere, God is everything. But then how God is simultaneously, Goloka eva nivasati akhilatma bhuto. He is situated everywhere, but he is situated only in one place. Goloka eva nivasati. He is doing everything, but he is doing only one thing in the spiritual world, relating with his devotees. This is the inconceivable nature of the Lord, and only a lover of God, a bhakta, alone can actually understand this inconceivable knowledge by the mercy of the Lord. Achintya bheda abheda tattva. And Prabhupada writes in the purport, the impersonalist can imagine or even perceive that the Supreme Brahman is all pervading. And therefore they conclude that there is no possibility of his personal form. Herein lies the mystery of the transcendental knowledge. This mystery is transcendental love of God. This is the confidential knowledge. Most confidential. Guhyatamam. And one who is surcharged with such transcendental love of Godhead can without difficulty see the personality of Godhead in every atom and every movable or immovable object. And at the same time, he can see the personality of Godhead in his own abode, Goloka, enjoying eternal pastimes with his eternal associates, who are also expansions of his transcendental existence. This vision is the real mystery of spiritual knowledge, as stated by the Lord in the beginning. Sa rahasyam tadangam cha. This mystery is the most confidential part of knowledge of the Supreme, and it is impossible for the mental speculators to discover by dint of intellectual gymnastics. The mystery can be revealed through the process recommended by Brahmaji in the Brahma Samhita. Premanjana Churita Bhakti Vilochanena Santas Sadaiva Hridayeshu Vilokayandi. Therefore, although he is present in every atom, the Supreme Personality of Godhead may be visible to the dry speculators, still the may not be visible to the dry speculators, still the mystery is unfolded before the eyes of the pure devotees because their eyes are anointed with the love of God. And this can be attained only by the practice of transcendental loving service to the Lord and nothing else. And how do we achieve that transcendental knowledge? To understand the Lord and His energies and the relationship of the Lord of inconceivable oneness and difference with His energy. And in this way, we can shift from the influence of His material energy to the influence of His spiritual internal energy. The Lord is seated in everyone's heart, and from Him comes knowledge, remembrance, and forgetfulness. When you want to forget the Lord, He makes you forget. And therefore, you can't see God even what we speak of in the temple, in the deity. You can't even see God even if He was to appear right in front of you. As happened with Hiranyakashipu. As happened with Duryodhan. As happened with Varahadev. When He appeared in front of Hiranyaksha. How is it that even if the Lord appears directly, they are not able to see because they don't want to see? You may say, no, I didn't say that. I never said that I didn't want to see. But not wanting to see means you want to be the proprietor and enjoyer and controller. That's what Hiranyakashipu is saying here. You have always described a supreme being other than me. Just see, other than me. That means he thought that he is the supreme being, who is above everything, who is the controller of everyone, and who is all-pervading. Hiranyakashipu was in one sense also all-pervading through his power. So, when we want to, now you cannot enjoy something when you know it belongs to someone. There is a sense of guilt. The moment you know that this property belongs to someone else, there is a guilt in terms of trying to enjoy, lord it over. So if you have a deep, deep desire, and how do you express your desire? Your action speaks louder than your words, what your desires are. And Hiranyakashipu expressed his desire so strongly by undergoing intense austerity to become the Lord and Master and proprietor and enjoyer. People are struggling all over just so that they can be controlling and enjoying, and since they are struggling so hard, yathamam prapadyante, if you want like that, Krishna says, all right. He just moves his wand like this. And you think, there's no one. I can't see anyone. Therefore, finders, keepers. I found it first. I put the flag. It belongs to me because I don't see anyone. So that Maya Javanika Channam Agya Adhokshajam Avyayam Nalakshase Mudhadrisha. Mudhadrisha. They can't see. So that enjoying propensity to want to be the controller and you can't enjoy unless you are the proprietor. And you can't be the proprietor if you don't have control over that. And therefore, he gives you the forgetfulness. And you are convinced that there is no God. That's external energy. To transfer the external energy into the internal energy, there is a particular switch you have to put in. There are two switches in the heart. In all of our heart, there are two switches. One switch is a red color switch, and another one is a green color switch. The red switch, if you press, forgetfulness. External energy comes over. And the second switch you press, then internal energy comes over. Of course, the unfortunate thing is the switch is not in your hands. It is in Krishna's hands. You have to tell Krishna, enough is enough. Put off this red switch now and put on the green switch. Let the internal energy come. So you have to tell Krishna, and Krishna only understands one language. You may say, should I speak in Sanskrit? What language to convince and tell Krishna, Krishna, I want this to happen. And that is actually the language of the heart. When Krishna sees that really in the core of your heart, you want the jnanam and smritim, knowledge and remembrance, then he will switch on and switch off this. And Prabhupada writes in the first canto, third chapter, 34th verse, purport, very beautiful, excellent purport. It says, the same energy which bewilders the living entity for those who want to have it subsides by the will of the Lord, by the grace of the Lord, in part of repentance and penance on part of the conditioned soul. Repentance and penance is the language by which Krishna switches off the button of external energy and starts on the button of internal energy. And then the same energy which in forgetfulness was responsible for entangling us, the same energy again becomes transcendental, a facility in full knowledge and remembrance to utilize everything, seeing its relationship with Krishna, use it for the glorification of Krishna, and always remember Krishna, love Krishna. Right at the beginning of Srimad Bhagavatam, the first 19 chapters, in the 19th chapter, Shukadeva Goswami, Parikshit Maharaj, is used by Lord Krishna at the beginning of Kali Yuga, at the end of Dwaparam, as an instrument. Krishna Sodhama Pagate, now that Krishna is going away, how to achieve Krishna consciousness? He used Parikshit Maharaj to incarnate in the form of Srimad Bhagavatam, and also through Parikshit Maharaj, he demonstrated for the whole world, for all time to see, at least in Kali Yuga, end of Kali Yuga, how to understand Srimad Bhagavatam, how to see Krishna in the Srimad Bhagavatam. Parikshit Maharaj was the emperor of the whole world. He was a pure devotee of the Lord. He was so powerful, empowered by the Lord, by the mercy, that in his presence, Kali could not even get a foothold. And there was no place for Kali to come. It was time for Kali to come. And Kali got a foothold through the immature, puffed up son of a Brahmana, who foolishly cursed Parikshit Maharaj to die within 7 days. And Parikshit Maharaj, who had, by the inconceivable arrangement of the Lord, an accidental, we can't say fall down, an accidental mistake. It was accidental. Parikshit would never do such a thing. He is such an exalted, pure devotee of the Lord. He was respectful towards the Brahmanas. He was respectful towards the cows. He was respectful towards the Supreme Lord. But somehow influenced by hunger, thirst, and fatigue, he asked the Brahmana, Shamik Rishi, for water, and he put this dead snake. Oh, you gave me a cool reception? Cold reception. I have come. Can you imagine the emperor of the whole planet walking into your home how he must be received according to Vedic etiquette. Representative of the Supreme Lord. So it was absolutely right on Parikshit Maharaj's part to be disturbed at not being properly received. And what he did was absolutely, from today's point of view, no problem. But Parikshit Maharaj, being such a refined personality, such a great devotee, after doing it, which was actually planned by the Lord, but he took the responsibility himself. He didn't justify. He could have counteracted it. As Parikshit Maharaj was leaving that ashram, in his whole consciousness, what was pervading all over his consciousness was a deep sense of regret, the repentance. And therefore, born out of that repentance was the determination that whatever is the result for such a mistake, let it happen. Let my kingdom, let my strength, let all my wealth burn to ashes. This way only I will learn from my mistake. And I will never do such a thing again. Let me never do such a thing. He was desiring without any reservation for the consequence to come. He was welcoming the consequence even when he had not heard this. And therefore, when he was told that message was sent by Shamik Rishi with great regret that my foolish, proud, immature son by his Brahma Tejas has cursed you, O king. And it cannot be retracted. So, with deep regret, I am communicating this to you so that you can prepare. Parikshit Maharaj could have come and apologized with Shamik Rishi. But he knew Shamik Rishi was already feeling so embarrassed. He didn't want to embarrass him further by his presence in the ashram again. Prabhupada writes in the purport, this is the sign of a good man, any good man, that he feels repentance for even an accidental mistake that he has done. Second thing is, ready to face the consequences in any way it comes. And thirdly, he did not blame the foolish Sringi. He could have easily blamed the foolish Sringi. He is immature. Yes, it's a fact. It is immature on the part of Sringi. Foolishness on the part of Sringi. Pride on the part of Sringi. Surprisingly, he saw Krishna's hand. This is seeing Krishna. Nothing can happen without the sanction of Krishna. If you think something is happening outside the sanction of Krishna, that means in that situation, at that time, in that particular thing, you don't see Krishna is not controlling at that time. In that situation, Krishna has no control. A devotee lives in relationship with the Lord and in relationship with the material world. Burijan Prabhu gives a brilliant example. Prabhupada explains in one purport, self-realization means to become indifferent to the gross and subtle body and becoming serious about the needs of the soul. So, Burijan Prabhu gives this example of how a devotee of the Lord goes through the drama of life fully focused on the wish of the director. Now, there is a drama and a director has designed a whole drama. And in a drama, everyone is given different roles. Now, one fellow is given a role that he gets an inheritance. He inherits billions of dollars, crores of rupees. He's happy. And suddenly somebody from behind takes a knife and pokes him. and he dies. Everyone is clapping. Curtain closes. Immediately this fellow gets up, pulls out the knife, hands it over to the fellow to whom the knife belongs, takes all the crores of rupees, hands over to the whoever gave him, and he goes to the director and says, "Are you happy? Was the message conveyed?" Only an intoxicated and a crazy actor, even after the curtain is out, he says, "Money is mine now." It was an act. So similarly, he has an existence outside the stage of acting. So, we are in our natural, constitutional, eternal state, Krishna Nitya Das. He is our director. He has a plan for us. And he has given us a role. According to our desire, what we deserve, he has given us a role. An actor puts on a costume and puts on a role, a script. The costume is the gross body, and the role is the subtle body, the mind, the intelligence, and the false ego, according to suitable to the costume. It's a script handed over by the Lord. And therefore, an actor, when he's playing the part on the stage, does it with all sincerity, full absorption, practically into the role, knowing fully well, I'm doing it to please the director. Because the director wants me to please the audience. Therefore, I'll perfectly play my role. But simultaneously, he never identifies with the role. He's only thinking, is the director want this? Will he be pleased by this kind of acting? Will the message be sent? And he's more serious about pleasing the director than absorption in the role. He's absorbed only to the extent that he can play that role perfectly. This is the meaning of becoming indifferent to the needs of the gross and subtle body and becoming serious about the needs of the soul. The need of the gross, and they are crying and demanding. Now there are two kinds of situation that may arise in a drama. Somebody enters a drama and in that stage he starts enjoying the drama so much. Because he's a king, he has the role of a king, and everyone is subordinate to him. Everyone is bowing down. He likes it. And he says, and then the director says, "Ho gaya, this is time up, come on." "No, no, no, wait. Such a beautiful drama, let it go on." That is a karmi who forgets his real identity, that he is a actor who is supposed to be playing his role, and he's so absorbed in the costume and the role that he actually identifies with the role. That is a materialistic person. And who is an impersonalist? An impersonalist is spoiled sport. I don't like this role. I don't like this role. Give me that role. Otherwise, I don't want. I quit. I get out of the drama. Mukti. I don't like this role. I'm disgusted with this role. I want that role. And in this role, always everyone is, looking down upon me. That's a jnani. Swam vimukti kaman, mauram charanti vijane. I walk away from everything. But a devotee of the Lord, nimitta matra bhavasavya sachi, mayaivaite nihata purumeva. It's already done. All the plan is already chalked out. Script is already given out. You just do your part. Be indifferent. Don't be attached to the role to continue it beyond a particular level. And don't stop the play before the director wants it. Therefore, the devotees of the Lord, sometimes I used to wonder, why this Gaur Kishore or Jagannath Das Babaji, 120 years simply sitting in the basket, can't eat anything. People, so many people say, just yesterday one person was telling me, he was driving me back, and he was telling his grandmother, so much problem she had, she would tell him, ek kaam kar mujhe ek goli de de. He said, which goli? Ki uthna nahi phir mujhe. Give me, she should tell the doctor, give me some injection. She had bed sores and she has so many problems. Disgusted, frustrated. I just want to get out. And there are those who want to live happily ever after here. Not understanding that it's a temporary role we have to play. So Parikshit Maharaj, what is the proof? That he was simply doing it for the pleasure of Krishna. The proof is when Krishna gave the signal, exit. Because I want to use you, the one of the best actors you are. I want to use you at the beginning of Kali Yuga to give Srimad Bhagavatam. You would be the best person because you are having everything that the world aspires for. You're the emperor of the world. And if you grow old and at the last age, if you hear Bhagavatam, maza nahi aayega. You know, drama mein itna, there is not fun. It should be one day emperor of the world, in 7 days you're about to get out. How are you going to do it? Parikshit Maharaj showed this. The first thing is, he went on the banks of the Ganga with a deep vow, with a grateful heart. And he saw that particular accidental fall down that he had, accidental mistake that he did, that was converted by Parikshit Maharaj by his deep repentance and ready to face all the consequences and not blaming anyone else than oneself. I deserve much worse, Krishna. You are so merciful. He tells all the sages, I don't know how all you sages, Narada and Vyasa and Vishwamitra, Asita, so many great souls, all of you have come here. I am such an offender and you have all come to witness. Therefore, I should know Krishna is with me. Mother Ganga is flowing right in front of me. Her Charanamrit is flowing right in front of me. And all you sages have gathered. By this I know that Krishna is very much. And also, I don't deserve it. Because my great forefathers were very close to Krishna. You people have shown mercy on me by being present here. And he is with a grateful heart accepting the consequences. Seeing Krishna everywhere. Seeing Krishna slap as equally beneficial as a pat on the back at some other time. So this is, by this we see, such a person actually transcends all this, understanding that it's all Krishna. Of course, we cannot be like Parikshit Maharaj, that's very high calling. But we can at least see in our own situations. It's very difficult actually. It's not easy. When a mistake happens, apichet sudaracharo bhajate mam ananya bhag sadhureva samantavya samyak vyavasito hi sah. Samyak vyavasito hi sah. And that means taking the activity of the soul seriously. In that situation, what did Parikshit Maharaj do? Krishnangri smaranam. He wanted to meditate on the lotus feet of the Lord and wanting to fast until death and then sit on the banks of the Ganga. And Prabhupada writes in the purport, in that particular purport, he says, remembrance of the lotus feet of the Lord means counteracting the sinful reactions of all the past. and determination to renounce all the thing to come on the banks of the Ganga means no more sinful activities for the future. So, we are into external energy. We have acted in the past in external energy and we continue to act in this external energy. So, first thing is future, no more interaction with sinful activities, which is that's what is entangling us. But then what about the past millions of lifetimes? That comes by Krishnangri Seva. So, what is repentance? Prabhupada writes in NOI, first verse, true prayaschitta means awakening the dormant Krishna consciousness. And that is chanting the holy name of the Lord. Because that holy name of the Lord, Bhavamaha Dhavagni Nirvapanam, all the past millions of lifetimes of sinful reactions, which is stored to bear fruit, fructify, is burnt out. And then we say, no meat eating, no intoxication, no illicit sex, no gambling, to protect us from future sinful reactions. So future is protected by penance, no nonsense anymore, and the past is counteracted by deep repentance. The fire of sinful, the fire of repentance burns away. I have been focusing on me all along. Now I'll focus on you, my Lord. That is why at the time of initiation, the most prominent vow we take is these two. One is repentance. I will chant the 16 rounds of the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra as attentively as possible, sincerely, faithfully, every day, knowing that it will burn away all. Deep fire of repentance burns away. No more nonsense. This is the penance. And at that time, to the extent we take this vow seriously, to that extent, the same energy all around us, which was acting as an external energy, becomes actually an internal energy. And at that time, at all times, in all situation, in all condition, seeing Krishna everywhere doesn't simply mean that, you know, Krishna will come suddenly from the door or through the door or from the sound system, he'll manifest like this, standing in 3-4. That's a very high realization. For us, seeing Krishna means whatever happens in our life, we see, in this situation, how can I take shelter of Krishna? How can I see the mercy of Krishna? How can I use this situation to come closer to him? Narada Muni heard from the Bhaktivedantas these 4 verses. And after they left, he wanted to go with them. But his situation was, he was tied in such a way by the affection of his mother. So he waited, fully dependent, not wanting to act independently by walking with the Bhaktivedantas, and not at the same time wanting to just be there and complacent. No, he was intensely desiring for a signal. And Krishna opened the window by taking away his mother, which was a very painful situation for him. But because he was trained by the Bhaktivedantas to see Krishna everywhere, in all situations, in all circumstances, he saw this as the inconceivable, very difficult to digest, but inconceivable mercy of Krishna. And thanking the Lord, Prabhupada writes in that purport, Krishna has his own way of dragging the soul towards him. So he waited patiently. He didn't become restless. And then when he traveled, his journey was also, as Bhakti Bhurijan Prabhu says, not a lollipop land. It's not that little boy left home walking everywhere and people would call him, feed him, a big rich man adopted him. It would have been a very nice story, but it won't appear in the Srimad Bhagavatam. It would have appeared in some other book, Rags to Riches story. But Narada, even though he walked through gold mines, silver mines, he didn't get attracted. He walked through bamboo rushes and bushes and the forests, deep forests, which are playhouse of jackals and foxes. He was not fearful, because he was simply going to see Krishna with a deep desire. So in this way, we see Prahlad Maharaj is in that situation here. He has come to that platform that he is seeing Krishna everywhere, even in the pillar. While Hiranyakashipu, even after Lord Narsingadeva is going to appear very soon, he is seeing right in front of him, but still doesn't see. So, hopefully we are not like Hiranyakashipu. At least we will see first in the deities. Wonderful opportunity to serve. First in the deities. Then, at least in the hearts of devotees. And then, gradually, in the heart of every living entity. Through surrender to the Lord, through friendship with the devotees, through compassion for the other living entities, and through indifference for the blasphemers. Just like Prahlad Maharaj. He was indifferent. He was not disturbed by the blasphemy. But he played his role. He didn't walk away just because Hiranyakashipu was so obnoxious. And therefore, Krishna used him to make his beautiful pastime manifest. So in this way, we can begin somewhere, little by little, to see Krishna first in the temple, then in the hearts of devotees, and gradually, hopefully, we'll come to a situation where in all times, at all places, in all situations, we will want to see what Krishna, what is the signal that Krishna is sending, which we come to know through Shastra, through Guru, through Sadhus, through Vaishnavas, and also through a heart of deep repentance and penance. Hare Krishna. So we'll stop here. Srila Prabhupada ki, Granthraj Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Nitai Gaur Premanandi. Hare.